the Saturday Morning Update.
Welcome to the Saturday Morning Update and a happy Mother's Day. I'm Rick Fowler. Jeff Wolf is behind the console. Jane Houghton is our producer. And we have a number of guests this morning to walk us through the lead stories of the week and a couple of neat features for you, too, today. One of the hot topics of the week, and that is the release of the House Intel transcripts. Now, these were transcripts that Adam Schiff had stonewalled and did not want to have come out, finally out this week, and some very troubling revelations in there about how members of the Obama administration knew early on that there was no evidence of collusion between Russia and the Trump administration, but continued to maintain the narrative. The talking points in so many of the media interviews of all of the leading Democrats. So that's one of the hot topics du jour. Also, the situation with General Flynn. The Justice Department will no longer seek the prosecution of General Michael Flynn, who, of course, had pled guilty to lying to the FBI. And we'll get a very close and personal assessment from KT McFarland. Of course, she was his deputy national security advisor. She was questioned by the FBI. She was very close to that investigation. And we'll get her reflections coming up in the 7 o'clock hour this morning. We're going to talk with Jim Trusty, of course, the attorney and recently on cable news channels, the former head of the organized crime and gang section at the Department of Justice. He's a former prosecutor, now attorney, and he's got a very interesting look at the Mike Flynn case and the legal justifications or lack of justification in that case. So we'll talk to Jim Trusty about that a bit later on this morning. The allegations from Tara Reid against Joe Biden continue. She spoke with Megyn Kelly, and that story is not going away. We'll get the impact of that from John Gizzi. We'll also talk to Jennifer Harper about it momentarily. When we talk to John Gizzi, we'll also get the discussion now on the economy. Of course, Joe Biden trying to make that an issue, and President Trump will have to get that recovery started as quickly as possible and make as much progress as he can prior to the November election. So that's a big debate. We'll talk about that with John Gizzi. Also, the debate in the Congress as to how and when they should come back to work, that in spite of the coronavirus. So we'll talk with John Gizzi about that a little bit later on the program this morning. So we got a lot going on. Cheryl Atkinson will join us. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer also. We'll talk with Mike Love of the Beach Boys because he has released a new song that he put together with John Stamos, and it all relates to the coronavirus and the recovery. The song is called This Too Shall Pass. You'll hear a little bit of that this morning. So we've got some Mother's Day gift ideas from our friends at Proven Winners in the Garden Department. A lot to do, and we're going to get right to it. We're going to start things off with Jennifer Harper. She writes Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Good morning and a happy Mother's Day to you.
Well, thank you, Rick. I appreciate that. And good morning, everyone.
Been a rocky week for Joe Biden, facing the allegations from Tara Reid, former staff member. And Joe Biden getting a lot of advice, but got some pretty good advice from a rather unique source.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, certainly this has been a very complicated week for Mr. Biden, and we shall see what we shall see about all of that. But he did get some great advice, I thought, practical advice from Newt Gingrich. And this is what Mr. Gingrich had to say to Mr. Biden. He says it's probably better for Joe Biden to get it out in the open now rather than this drip, drip, drip attack for the rest of the spring and the summer. This, again, is Newt Gingrich telling Mr. Biden to deal with it and get it out of your hair. He said this in a rather telling interview with Fox News, Mr. Gingrich did. And he said that Mr. Biden should also release any of the documents he has pertaining to these allegations, even if they don't support his denial of the claims. And Mr. Gingrich went on to say he's got to figure out an answer that will satisfy the left or this will just be a running sore from now until Election Day. So that's a very big challenge for him. Again, that's Newt Gingrich. And there's already a whole lot of cultural fallout, if you're following any of this stuff, between the Me Too movement and feminism and who believes in it and who doesn't. It is a complicated thing, and I think Mr. Gingrich's advice here is spot on. You know, let's get on with it. How about that?
Well, we know presidential campaigns are a numbers game, and we've watched the polls probably too closely, especially this early. But poll numbers aren't the only numbers that people consider.
Oh, indeed. That's so true, because you'll just have to look at Real Clear Politics these days, and they follow all of the odds that the bookies come out with. So the bookies are now part of the political process also. And let's talk about how they feel about Joe Biden this week. And the news is not so good. This is coming from USBookies.com. This is not actually a bookie-type thing. This is an industry group, which they aggregate all the existing betting data and make an analysis of it. And, of course, they go into politics as well. Here's what they have to say about Joe Biden. They say Joe Biden's odds to secure the Democratic nomination have worsened. The former vice president was 1-20 to win the nomination when Bernie Sanders dropped out of the race in early April, but he's since moved to 1-8. Biden is still 13-10 to win the 2020 U.S. presidential election, but he is trailing Donald Trump, who is the odds-on 5-6 favorite to win. Again, this is coming from USBookies.com. And, let's throw in something about Hillary Clinton. She currently has 8-1 odds to secure the Democratic nomination. And this is up from 40-1 in February. Similarly, her odds to win the presidential election have improved from 100-1 to 22-1. And so the industry analyst for this group, his name is Alex Donahue, he says the shifting in the betting markets indicates a decrease in confidence in Biden. He says Hillary Clinton's surge further supports this notion. The current election landscape tells us that she'd have almost no shot at actually being the nominee at this point, but the fact that her odds have improved so quickly should come as grave news for Biden, who desperately needs some momentum to close the gap between him and Trump. So that's some numbers this morning, but from our bookie friends.
So if the momentum does slow for Joe Biden, instead of a Hail Mary, they're talking about a Hail Michelle?
Oh, boy, indeed. The Michelle frenzy is now underway. We've already talked about this, about Michelle Obama's possibility of being a vice presidential nominee and also a presidential nominee. And, here you go. We're getting formal here. There's a new political action committee that was formed this week, and it's simply titled the Committee to Draft Michelle Obama for Vice President. And they're intending very specifically to rev up all the grassroots support for the First Lady and get the media all excited. Well, that shouldn't be too hard. Anyway, this is what they have to say. This is what the organizers are saying. With a historic battle to reclaim the soul of America looming this November and the peril caused by the coronavirus pandemic, it remains in the best interest of the Democratic Party to nominate a vice presidential candidate who has the trust of the American people, a vision to lead our nation forward, and empathy for the challenges faced by all Americans. Again, this is coming from the Committee to Draft Michelle Obama for Vice President. And they are definitely not holding back on all of these accolades. They say Michelle Obama's honorable reputation will stand in stark contrast to the rampant corruption and immorality that pervades President Trump's administration. If elected, she would usher in a much-needed sense of virtue in Washington, which is gracefully exemplified in her quotation, "When they go low, we go high." The reason I'm reading all that is it's probably an indicator of what's to come. With such, flowery language, a lot more to come on this particular possibility.
So it's not easy to find a picture of President Trump wearing a face mask. What have you got on that?
Well, this is a very interesting relationship about President Trump and the face mask, because guess what? Very soon, there are going to be official Trump campaign face masks. Yes, that you can get. How about that? And, you know, the news media has just fussed plenty about whether the president is using them or not using them. It just goes on and on and on. It's just another item on the laundry list of the media to annoy the White House, but at least one official GOP organization is already offering Trump face masks, official Trump face masks. That is the Republican Party of Texas, and they are currently selling a set of three. They're reusable and washable. It says Trump 2020 limited edition face mask. They're looking for like a $20 donation, something like that. They say their supplies are already running out. And the president's reelection campaign, meanwhile, is on the case. The Wall Street Journal reported this week that their very bodacious campaign, and that's the Trump campaign because they're really rocking and rolling right now, but they have already placed an order for, quote, red Trump branded face masks for supporters. So that's coming soon. I don't know when, but they'll be, the official ones will be coming soon. If you want an unofficial one, just Google Trump face mask. And there are dozens, literally dozens of pop-up companies and online entrepreneurs who are selling Trump face masks. They either have his name, his phrases. They come in patriotic colors, camouflage, you name it. So something to do this weekend when it gets really cold. How about that?
So Bernie Sanders has very loyal supporters. He has endorsed Joe Biden. Obviously, the Democrats would love to see those loyal supporters head to Biden. How's that working out?
Not so well, because there are a lot of indicators out there that all of those young voters who were so loyal to socialism and to Senator Bernie Sanders and all that he was telling them and the fantastical rhetoric that he had, well, this could very well compromise Joe Biden's chances of winning the White House, because this is a huge demographic, and they still have a big crush on Senator Bernie Sanders. And this is coming from Heartland Institute analyst Justin Haskins. He is wrote an essay for Fox News, and he says, although it's very likely a Biden presidency would move the country in a more extreme left direction, the more socialistic policies that America's youth have come to believe are essential rights wouldn't be put into place as quickly as they would want under a Sanders presidency. This is a political reality many young leftists believe to be completely unacceptable. They want the Bernie Sanders type of socialism. That's what this gentleman is saying. This has put liberals in an extremely difficult situation. Again, this gentleman's name is Justin Haskins. He says the further to the left they move, the more difficult it will be for them to win in vital, more moderate swing states, which is precisely why the Democratic Party establishment chose the mostly unappealing Biden as party nominee. However, the more moderate the party appears, the less enthusiastic and more disenfranchised the young progressives and socialists have become. So the Biden campaign is kind of caught in the middle there. But the numbers are supporting this about the poll numbers about this demographic. And this is pretty many millions of these youngsters out there. And they're still in the Bernie camp.
The economy taking a hit, the stock market taking a hit, unemployment. What does that mean for Mother's Day and spending on mom?
Well, let's have three cheers for moms. All you moms out there, grandmoms, moms-to-be, almost moms, whatever. Americans are going to celebrate Mother's Day in a very big way, despite the coronavirus pandemic, despite the cold weather, uneasy mamas, social restrictions, you name it. The National Retail Federation reports that 86% of Americans plan to celebrate Mother's Day this year, and they are expected to drop a record-breaking $26.7 billion celebrating moms. They say Mother's Day may be more meaningful this year. For many consumers, the coronavirus has put a spotlight on opportunities to celebrate and show their loved ones they care. In fact, 78% say that celebrating Mother's Day is more important to them this year, given the current state of the pandemic. Again, that's the National Retail Federation, always an interesting group to follow. They've got all the numbers on every holiday, how much we spend. They say this sentiment shows up in spending plans as well. On average, consumers say they plan to spend $205 on cards, special meals, other gifts for moms, approximately $8 more than last year. And two-thirds, however, plan to be in their high-tech mode. They're going to be contacting via Zoom, FaceTime, or other virtual means. So if you're not getting to see your kids or your grandbabies and all that, you're not alone. Everybody else has to do it too. And this is a pretty current poll that they conducted of 8,300 consumers in mid-April. So happy Mother's Day, and hope all you ladies get something nice.
Well, happy Mother's Day to you, and have a lovely weekend.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate that. Everybody have a good weekend.
The Saturday Morning Update continues. Time for a check of the traffic and weather, and Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
So far in Virginia, traffic is moving well on 395 Metz Road to the 14th Street Bridge, but keep in mind the express lanes closed for weekend road work. Now on 66, you will find some construction taking place westbound in the Manassas area between Business 234 and Route 29 in Gainesville along the left side, but so far not seeing any delays through that work zone. In the district, keep in mind weekend construction has a portion of the Suitland Parkway closed between South Capitol Street and Firth Sterling Avenue. Do follow the posted detours. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
D.C. and points east. A very cold start to the weekend. Some record lows this morning. Highs today reaching the lower 50s under partly cloudy skies. It will be breezy at times, making it feel even colder. Mainly clear and cold tonight. Lows in the 30s. Due to a freeze warning west. Frost advisory DC and points east through 10 o'clock Sunday morning. For your Mother's Day, partly cloudy skies. Breezy at times, but warmer. Highs in the mid-60s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
It's May 9th, and it's 36 degrees in the nation's capital at 624. It is the Saturday Morning Update. It's great to have you with us, and we have a special treat. We haven't had a rock and roll band come in this neighborhood in a couple of months at least, and we are joined by Mike Love, the lead singer and founder of the Beach Boys, who has a brand new song out with a very important message. And Mike, good morning. Thank you for being with us.
Good morning, Rick. It's great to be on WMAL, and it's great to be talking to everybody in the D.C. and Baltimore area because, you know, we've had so much success over our career in the area, so many great memories, so many great venues, you know, whether it's Meriwether Post or Wolf Trap or the Strathmore, and of course, our mid-80s Monument Grounds concerts on July 4th. Those were the most memorable of our career. And we were to have been in the anthem, as I think a lot of our fans know, but unfortunately they had to postpone that because of the pandemic.
Well, I wanted to ask you, what kind of a hit have you and the music industry in general taken? I mean, just the thought of the tours being just wiped off the map, and you had a really busy year planned.
We had the biggest year of our career so far this year, but it's all come to a grinding halt, and we're not the only ones. Everyone is affected, the promoters and the people that work for the big companies and venues, and every single act who loves to tour, and like we do, and it's been terrible for the musicians. So what we did with all this time off is I decided to get creative, and I came up with a song title called This Too Shall Pass. Because, you know, in my almost six decades of touring and doing shows all around the world, you know, we've lived through the Vietnam War situations, we've seen racial unrest and stuff like that. But, you know, eventually some of these things get sorted out and they come to a conclusion. And so that's what's going to happen with the pandemic. And this too shall pass. In the meantime, we didn't want to not recognize the fact that we're all going through these things and that there are a lot of first responders and National Guard and doctors and nurses working real hard. I sat down and wrote out a little story that I then put to music. And it was done in a very unique way, but it is a message of hope and positivity, a light at the end of the tunnel.
And you recorded this following the protocols of social distancing.
Yes, it was a very unique way of doing a recording these days. I'd never quite done it to this extent. We did it in about seven different locations. So I'm in Lake Tahoe. I wrote the lyrics. I called our keyboard player, Tim Bonhomme, to get the tempo and the right key that I would sing it in. Then he sent it on to our musical director, Scott Totten, who lives in Lakeland, Florida, who did a basic track. Then he sent it to Nashville to a couple of our guys who live there, Randy Liegor, sax player, and Brian Eichenberger, the guy that sings really high and stuff, plays guitar with us. People have seen him on stage with us. He's an amazing musician. My son Christian, living in Santa Barbara, he did his thing from his little home studio. And then we turned it over to John Stamos, who'd played the drums, and he put the video together. I sent him my video of me singing the song in my home studio in Lake Tahoe. It was really remarkable how it came together, but it sounds like we're all together in the same studio. It's a miracle of technology. John Stamos was really great. He volunteered to put the video together and spent many hours doing it because he wanted to make it as great as we possibly could under the circumstances, and I think he did a wonderful job.
You have a way of capturing sort of the spirit of the time, as you've done in your lyrics. I mean, you wrote the lyrics for the Beach Boys hits through the years, and you just you know, kind of captured the essence of how we all feel here. There was one thing that is very important about this, and you are donating all of the artist and label royalties from This Too Shall Pass to a very special organization.
Feeding America. Feeding America helps food banks from coast to coast all over the country and has delivered, you know, millions of meals over the years to people in rural areas and kids that don't have much food to eat and stuff, and elderly people, too, where the funds are pretty slim. So I think it's a wonderful organization, and what with over 30 million people out of work, I think it's enormously important for those of us who are in a position to do anything to help out Feeding America right now. I think it's a tremendously fine organization, and it's something so worthwhile. I feel really good about it, and I was really pleased to see that the record company, BMG, was going to be supportive of that idea as well.
Well, it's a very special effort. I think it's important for America at this time to hear a message like this. This too shall pass.
You know, if you're interested in purchasing the record so that a contribution goes directly to Feeding America, then you could look up information on MikeLove.com. MikeLove.com. We have some information on that site where people can understand what to do. Like if you buy the tune from Spotify or Amazon or any of the iTunes, anything like that, any of these places where you can buy music, we will just contribute our share and the label share to Feeding America, and we would love to have as many people as possible to join us.
And Feeding America is one of the leading charities in the country. It's got the top ratings from Charity Navigator. People can see the video at MikeLove.com and pick it up. And, of course, the donation will go to Feeding America. Thank you for taking the time to be with us, and hope to see you soon in D.C.
Thank you, Rick, and thank all you WMAL listeners. We love you. We look forward to being back as soon as we can.
People are wondering how long it'll last. As the saying goes, this too shall pass. Well, I believe the best is yet to come. So let's get back to having fun, fun, fun in the sun. In the meantime, people, there can be no doubt. Lots of folks deserve a big shout out. First responders and the National Guard, doctors and nurses all working real hard. It's kind of like the viral Super Bowl, so do unto others, it's good for the soul. All 50 states with a unified goal. God bless America, that's how we roll. People are wondering how long it'll last. As the saying goes, this too shall pass.
And once again, the proceeds there going to Feeding America, and that's at MikeLove.com if you are interested. Time for a check of the headlines this morning. The coronavirus is surfacing inside the White House. Vice President Mike Pence's press secretary has the coronavirus, makes her the second person who works at the White House complex known to test positive for the virus this week. It's Pence's spokeswoman, Katie Miller. She tested positive yesterday. She is married to Stephen Miller, a top advisor to the president. The next financial rescue plan may not show up for a while. President Trump says he is in, quote, no rush to negotiate another financial rescue bill. His comments come even as the government is reporting that more than 20 million Americans lost their jobs last month due to the economic upheaval. Trump's top economic advisor says the White House wants to let the last round of recovery funding kick in before committing to hundreds of billions of more dollars in spending. Michigan authorities say that two men wanted in the fatal shooting of a security guard who demanded a woman wear a mask while shopping at a store. Those two suspects are in custody. Genesee County authorities arrested the suspects yesterday. They're charged with first-degree murder. Shooting took place May 1st at a Family Dollar store in Flint, Michigan. U.S. government has awarded a $275 million border wall contract for construction that would begin in South Texas in January. That's at the start of President Trump's second term, if he is reelected. The Cadell Construction Company is based in Montgomery, Alabama. They won that contract. Magician Roy Horn of the famed Las Vegas act Siegfried and Roy has died of complications from the coronavirus. He was 75 years old, his publicist said in a statement that Horn died yesterday in a Las Vegas hospital. Now, you may recall he was critically injured in 2003 by one of the act's white tigers. Siegfried and Roy, an institution in Las Vegas, known for their magic and artistry, and they consistently attracted sellout crowds. They performed six shows a week, 44 weeks a year. Roy Horn was a native of Germany. Time for a check of the traffic and weather. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In the district, keep in mind there is still an accident that has Minnesota Avenue closed in southeast between Nelson Place and M Street due to a serious accident, so you'll need to seek alternate routes at this time. In Virginia, keep in mind that a portion of Joplin Road is closed between Park Headquarters Road and Breckenridge Road due to fallen power cables in the roadway. Also in Virginia, do keep in mind there is some road work on westbound 66 headed from Business 234 towards Route 29 in Gainesville along the left side and eastbound in Arlington between Sycamore Street and Fairfax Drive. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Partly cloudy skies to start the weekend. High temperatures into the lower 50s. It will be breezy at times, making it feel even colder. Tonight, mainly clear and cold. We'll lose the winds. A freeze warning issued west. Frost advisory DC and points east. Lows in the 30s. For Mother's Day, partly cloudy, breezy at times, but milder. Highs in the mid-60s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
36 degrees at 6:36 on the Saturday morning update.
Is your portfolio constructed to weather the stormy ups and downs of the financial markets? Your financial advisor can evaluate the good and bad news and help make sure your account is positioned appropriately. Hi, I'm Chase Hinderstein, co-host of WMAL's Wise Investor Show, heard every Sunday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. We manage investments for our clients, so give us a call. We think we can help.
Call 866-758-9473 or log on to thewiseinvestorgroup.com and resolve to become a better informed, wise investor.
Please listen. This is important. Anyone can be affected by the prescription opioid crisis. If you think you've been hurt by Purdue or its prescription opioids like OxyContin, you may be entitled to compensation as part of Purdue's bankruptcy, but you have to file a claim. Claims may include overdose, death, substance use disorder, lost wages, and neonatal abstinence syndrome. A confidential claim can be filed by individuals, a legal guardian, by survivors or relatives of people who have died or are disabled. The deadline to file a claim is June 30th, 2020, or you will lose your right to file a claim. For more information, visit PurduePharmaClaims.com, or you can call toll-free 1-844-217-0912. That's 1-844-217-0912. Paid for by Prime Clerk, LLC.
It is the Saturday morning update for Mother's Day weekend. It is great to have you along with us. And we had a nice chat last weekend with Natalie Carmoli, public relations specialist with Proven Winners. And these are the really finest in plants and flowers and shrubs. You'll see them at your local independent garden centers in the white containers. Nice to have you back with us this weekend.
Thanks for having me back. It's great to be here.
And it is Mother's Day weekend. It's Saturday morning. People might be scrambling for a gift. You mentioned some great ideas last weekend, something that's going to be more permanent than just cut flowers. And if you could run those down once again real quick for people that are going to maybe head out and do some shopping today.
A lot of people I know will be going to their garden centers this weekend looking for something special for mom. A lot of garden centers, even if you can't go into them, are offering curbside pickup or delivery. And a great suggestion for them is a Proven Winners shrub that you can plant in your landscape that mom's going to see bloom every single year. It's going to remind her of your love for her. And we went through a few of those last weekend. A big one that we talked about were hydrangeas. Everybody loves that classic hydrangea in your garden and those beautiful big blooms that you can watch bloom in your garden, or you can cut them and put them in a vase and bring them inside. So we talked about maybe getting something like the pink Invincible Spirit 2 hydrangea, which is that smooth hydrangea that blooms on new wood. It's super easy to grow. Or panicle hydrangeas are also easy to grow. Everyone's familiar with Limelight. There's also a variety out there called Little Lime hydrangea, which has those great big green flowers that we love on Limelight, but it's just a third of the size of the original. And you can find those at a lot of your garden centers that carry Proven Winners plants. And like you said, Rick, they're really easy to identify because they're in that distinctive white Proven Winners pot.
We get calls on the garden show frequently from people saying that they have trouble getting their hydrangeas to flower. And I know you have to prune them at exactly the right time, and after a certain point you don't want to prune them because you lose the blooms. But give us some tips from a true expert here.
Well, that's a great question, Rick, especially if you're getting hydrangeas for mom and mom says, how am I going to take care of these? What's the best way to take care of them? Because everybody loves hydrangeas, but a lot of people do think they can be tricky to grow. But really, the only secret for beautiful hydrangeas that are going to bloom reliably is selecting the right plants. Proven Winners hydrangeas have been bred, trialed, and tested for garden success. Now, if you need an extra hardy hydrangea, look for Incredible or the Invincible series of smooth hydrangeas. That if you love saturated pink or blue color of the, like you get on a big leaf hydrangea, the Reblooming Let's Dance series always delivers beautiful big blooms. And if you like that Limelight panicle hydrangea, look for Little Lime. It has the same big flowers and coloration, but like we said earlier, in a smaller garden friendly size. And of course, it's going to produce tons of gorgeous long lasting blooms every year. One of the questions we most get asked is, how do I prune my hydrangea, or why isn't my hydrangea blooming? And that does have a lot to do with pruning and with the light that it gets. Now, hydrangeas don't strictly actually require regular pruning. In fact, you should avoid pruning big leaf and mountain hydrangeas altogether. They're related to each other, these big leaf and mountain hydrangeas. Now, even in the case of reblooming big leaf hydrangeas, like the Proven Winners Let's Dance series, which flower on new and old wood, avoiding pruning them, make sure you're going to get the showiest performance. So like I said before, just prune off those old spent flowers. You don't need to cut them way back to get great performance from these big leaf and mountain hydrangeas. Like I said earlier, those are the ones that are going to turn from pink to blue. That's that type of hydrangea. Now, if you've inherited an older type of big leaf hydrangea that only blooms on old wood, and those are the ones that a lot of people say, you know, my hydrangea isn't blooming. What's going on? It bloomed two summers ago, and now it hasn't bloomed since. You may have pruned those buds right off. Now, a good rule of thumb is you can shorten those stems by one-third every year after they've flowered. This way, you still have two-thirds of the plant remaining every summer, but you're maintaining it at a lower height. Now, the easiest hydrangeas to take care of are panicle and smooth hydrangeas. Those are the ones we talked about earlier, like Limelight and the Invincible series of smooth native hydrangeas. Both of these types of hydrangeas bloom on new wood, so they're going to flower reliably every year, no matter how cold the winter was. Now, a couple of examples of these type of hydrangeas are the Invincible Ruby Smooth Hydrangea. And we talked about that a little bit last weekend when we talked about Mother's Day flowers. This is the type of hydrangea that you see that old-fashioned Annabelle hydrangea, that big hydrangea with the big white snowball blooms. The Invincible series is born out of that hydrangea, but they're bred to have stronger stems. So those great big snowball flowers are going to get held up nice and strong every year. And the Invincible series also has a lot more color. So you can get the beautiful white one if you like, but you can get a green one, or you can get a variety of different pink colors. There's one I love called Invincible Ruby, and it has deep pink ruby blooms, and it's a nice, manageable size. It only gets to be about 3 to 4 feet tall and wide, and it's also the proven winter's hydrangea of the year, so it's going to be readily available at your local garden center. Another hydrangea, remember when I first started talking about these, was the Panicle hydrangea. Now we all know Limelight hydrangea. That's that great big, can get to be about 8 feet tall hydrangea with those pointed blooms. That's a panicle shaped bloom, and they're a beautiful green color when they emerge, and then they transition to a rosy and a deep burgundy color as the flowers transition into the season. Now, if you love that Limelight hydrangea, but you don't have room, or say mom doesn't have room for a great big 8 foot tall shrub, you can look for Little Lime hydrangea. It's going to have the same great big flowers that we love in Limelight, but it's only going to be about a third of the size.
You mentioned so many varieties. Suppose somebody's moved into a house and their hydrangeas bloom every year, but they don't exactly know what they have. Do you have a resource to find out?
That's actually a really great question. And of course, you can always go to the Proven Winners website. That's provenwinners.com. Just go to the search box and type in hydrangea, and you're going to see a lot of video, a lot of pages that describe what these hydrangeas look like, that'll help give you some guidance as to what you already have or maybe what might work in your landscape. And if you really have a question after that, if you scroll all the way to the bottom of the page, there's a contact us link, and you can send a message to Proven Winners. A lot of people will send in a picture of their hydrangea, and there are a lot of really talented horticulturists who respond to all of those contact us requests and can give you answers.
And locally, if somebody wants to purchase, where would you send them?
You can find all of the Easy Care hydrangeas we talked about today at your garden center by looking for the distinctive white Proven Winners pot, and you can get more information at provenwinners-shrubs.com.
Natalie Carmoli at Proven Winners, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We're at 6:46. It is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. Coming up next, we'll talk with attorney Jim Trusty, and we'll really take a deep dive into the General Flynn investigation and why the Justice Department has decided not to pursue the prosecution. That's next, but first, Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In Maryland on 50 westbound at Church Road, watch out for some debris reported in the roadway. Use extra caution traveling there. So far, things are looking good on the Capitol Beltway. On the outer loop at the Clara Barton Parkway, you may find some road work, but that looks like that is confined to the right shoulder at the moment. So far in 270, things are looking good, but northbound from Clarksburg Road to Comis Road, you will find some construction in the left lane. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Partly cloudy skies to start the weekend, high temperatures into the lower 50s. It will be breezy at times, making it feel even colder. Tonight, mainly clear and cold. We'll lose the winds. A freeze warning issued west, frost advisory DC and points east, lows in the 30s. For Mother's Day, partly cloudy, breezy at times, but milder, highs in the mid-60s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
Capital 36 degrees at 6:47.
Watch Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
Saturday morning update for Mother's Day weekend. Thank you for joining us. I'm Rick Fowler. We are joined by Jim Trusty. He is an attorney at IFRA Law here in Washington, D.C., formerly the chief of the Organized Crime and Gang Section at the United States Department of Justice. Jim now focusing on litigation in his practice here in Washington. Jim, thank you for being with us.
Great to be with you again, Rick.
General Flynn's case making the headlines this week. He pled guilty to lying to the FBI. Then court documents finally released showing the handling of the case by the FBI, or as some would say, the mishandling of the case. Explain to us why the Justice Department now is not going to seek prosecution.
Well, sure. There's a 20-page motion that got filed by the government to dismiss the charges, and it's really a pretty wide-ranging document. There's a lot in there. What I would say by way of a real brief summary is this case died a death by a thousand cuts. There's not one single thing that made it a terrible case, but when you look at all of the factors, and most of that's in this motion, it's a terrible case, and it shouldn't have been brought in the first place. And if the prosecutor, a real prosecutor, knew all the information the way the FBI conducted themselves, they wouldn't have touched this case with a 10-foot pole. And so now we're doing this kind of, you know, late in the process autopsy of sorts of this case. But the motion to dismiss really lays out a lot of the problems. And some of it's legal, but a lot of it is really just about the FBI. So I guess there's a couple of legal points that are worth mentioning. The first is it discusses materiality, that in other words, if a person is making a false statement to law enforcement, it's got to be important. It's got to have some potential effect on an ongoing investigation. And the case law is pretty friendly for the government in this area. It doesn't take much for it to be considered material. But what the memo talks about is how there really wasn't even an investigation justified at this point, that they had already run through the course of investigating General Flynn. They were closing it out, and Peter Strzok basically put his foot in the door to make sure it didn't get closed. And he and Lisa Page kind of celebrated that little antic in some email or text message exchanges. So there really shouldn't have been a case open by the time they interviewed him. And the statements were ones that the government knew the answers to. So it's, again, academically, could it be material? Probably, under a lot of the case law, or at least it's a chance of being material. But in reality, he didn't do anything that thwarted any sort of investigation. So that's the first legal thing that the memo talks about. The second thing that it talks about is this idea of willfulness, that if a person violates 18 U.S. Code Section 1001 for false statements to federal law enforcement, they have to do so knowing they're doing something wrong, that they're actually breaking the law as they do that. And what's interesting in this case is DOJ specifically says, if you're going to pursue a 1001 prosecution, a false statement prosecution, you should tell the person up front in the interview that lying is a federal felony offense. And there's even discussion that's been reported publicly about how Lisa Page, over at the FBI General Counsel, with no trials under her belt, from my understanding, was advising Peter Strzok, maybe you can just kind of sneak it into the conversation early. Just make it a kind of a no big deal thing and get it out of the way. Well, by the time they actually went over and interviewed General Flynn, they didn't give any warnings at all. So that's one of the great signs of, again, double standards. Number one, it hurts the case in terms of proving willfulness. But number two, it's just the tip of the iceberg for what the FBI was doing in their, again, politically ambitious desire to snare General Flynn.
Jim, in analyzing the various news reports and opinion pieces, depending on which side of the spectrum you're on, either this was a huge miscarriage of justice by the Justice Department to drop the case, or it was a huge miscarriage of justice, or the conduct of the FBI was a huge miscarriage of justice. Absolute 180s, which is it?
Well, from my perspective, it's clearly the FBI's behavior was the miscarriage of justice here. And I'll tell you right now, it's obvious already that there's going to be armchair prosecutors that, you know, thump their chest and talk about this being the greatest case of all time, and they would have convicted him, you know, seven ways to Sunday, and this is outrageous, and it's, Barr being a lackey for the president. I mean, the talking points are kind of already out there. And I don't know that anything I say, you know, from a legal analysis will ever change any of those folks' minds. But the reality is, if you look just at this motion, and there's a broader context that's pretty damning for Jim Comey's regime anyway, but just at this motion, you have misconduct that's outrageous by the FBI. It's got Jim Comey and Peter Strzok and Lisa Page and Andy McCabe, the foursome that we know from the Mueller probe and from text messages and from media appearances and all the things that they've been doing, taking steps that they would only take because they felt the rules didn't apply to them. So one of the things I thought was, you know, we all knew basically that Flynn was interviewed by ambush, right? There was no notice. There was, you know, no way that they should have gone running in the door. And in fact, the motion to dismiss even mentions Comey smugly bragging on TV about how he got away with something, how I never would have been able to send my agents over there with other administrations or if they were more organized. And, you know, think that through for a minute. That's Jim Comey bragging that he broke the rules because they weren't on guard for his misconduct. That's what that really comes down to. So when they actually interviewed General Flynn, it's an ambush interview. They chose not to advise him of the fact that it's a crime to lie. It turns out later they had misgivings as to whether he was even being dishonest. And, of course, they knew the answers to everything they asked him. But there's a wrinkle in the motion to dismiss that I think says so much about Comey's mentality and the politicization of this at the leadership level of the FBI. And that is, he was called by Sally Yates, then the acting attorney general, early in the morning because she was fed up with the fact that he was not advising the incoming administration about what they were doing with General Flynn. She was at her wit's end. She called him in the morning, and Comey decided to ignore that call until he had the agents actually go over and ambush General Flynn. He calls back later and tells Sally Yates, you know what, it's too late. They're already interviewing him. I mean, it was an amazing moment for a guy who used to be the deputy attorney general at DOJ, who knows the chain of command, who literally thought it was cute or thought it was okay for him to basically stiff-arm the White House counsel, who should have been there for the interview, and DOJ, who was trying to shut down the already closed case, and just ignoring the phone call. So when you look at the conduct of this political group at the top of the FBI, who the rules didn't apply to, they victimized a lot of people, from FISA court to DOJ to General Flynn, and it certainly makes you wonder, what about the other cases that they might have presided over? What kind of decision-making do they bring to bear in general? So to me, this is the stuff that really outweighs the legal analysis. Yes, there's a materiality issue, there's a willfulness issue, but when you look at the nuts and bolts of how Jim Comey conducted himself and Peter Strzok being empowered to do the crazy things he did, it's outrageous. And that's the type of thing where, again, I don't think an FBI agent in Wichita or Seattle or anywhere else in this country would have been able to do one-tenth of the things Comey did without being chained to his desk. But the rules didn't seem to apply to the top of the FBI, and that's a good reason to walk away from this petty case.
Well, there's still one more step with the judge, I believe.
Right. This is actually a motion, not the order. So Judge Sullivan will be in a position to decide whether to grant the motion to dismiss. He almost absolutely will. But he might decide to have a hearing like he did when Ted Stevens' case was dismissed after his conviction. So it could get very interesting if Judge Sullivan brings in the parties and decides to kind of hold court on this motion to dismiss versus just signing off on an order. I think he'll have a hearing.
Jim Trusty at IFRA Law in Washington, D.C. Jim, thank you so much.
Thank you, Rick.
6:56 Saturday morning update, WMAL. 7 o'clock hour coming up. We'll start it off with Heather Curtis has a look at the latest news, and then John Gizzi will take a look at the Biden allegations, Biden versus Trump on the economy and on the coronavirus. We'll also talk with Cheryl Atkinson. We'll get her read on the revelations in the House intel documents and General Flynn's prosecution. Also, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer and KT McFarland are on the way. Stay with us.
Planning to buy a home? This is Chris Plant, and my friend Mark Livingstone and his team at Cornerstone First Financial are the mortgage professionals that I recommend. Call Mark at 202-625-1221, online at cornerstonefirst.com.
Please listen. This is important. Anyone can be affected by the prescription opioid crisis. If you think you've been hurt by Purdue or its prescription opioids like OxyContin, you may be entitled to compensation as part of Purdue's bankruptcy, but you have to file a claim. Claims may include overdose, death, substance use disorder, lost wages, and neonatal abstinence syndrome. A confidential claim can be filed by individuals, a legal guardian, by survivors or relatives of people who have died or are disabled. The deadline to file a claim is June 30th, 2020, or you will lose your right to file a claim. For more information, visit PurduePharmaClaims.com, or you can call toll-free 1-844-217-0912. That's 1-844-217-0912. Paid for by Prime Clerk, LLC.
WMAL, saluting our first responders and medical professionals.
They continue to serve their country.
Thank you for that.
America salutes you.
God bless you all.
Stay with 105.9 FM.
Thank you very much.
WMAL.
Attorney CPA Joe Cordell.
For some dads out there, the coronavirus pandemic has become a pretext to limit access to their children. Other dads have been pushed out of key decisions affecting their children's lives. If you're one of those dads needing help right now, not someday when things are back to normal, Cordell and Cordell is here for you, as always, but with expanded services. We can meet you in person or by video conference. We can meet on weekdays, evenings, or weekends. Our goal is to step up our service to meet your needs now. We understand this outbreak has put many aspects of our lives on hold, and you may be struggling to balance family and work obligations. I get that. But some things shouldn't be put on the shelf. Give us a call at Cordell & Cordell.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Fairfax area attorneys, a partner men can count on. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Office in Falls Church.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station.